This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. An event aimed at ending youth violence is being held Friday in Kalamazoo. Educating for Freedom in Schools is presenting the annual summer extravaganza and finale, which will be held at Kalamazoo College's Dalton Theater at 6:30 Friday night. Damara Gardner is founder and executive director of Educating for Freedom in Schools. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And we also have a student with us, CJ Bragg. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for bringing me in this lovely studio.
So, Damara, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about the background of Educating for Freedom in Schools.
Educating for Freedom in Schools started off as the Kalamazoo CDF Freedom Schools program. Myself and another individual brought the program to the Kalamazoo community in 2008. I had been introduced to the Freedom Schools model in 2007 based on work that I had done with the National Resource Center for Racial Healing. And I had never seen a program as comprehensive as Freedom Schools and really felt compelled to bring the model to our community. And so our work began. And in 2008, we served about 48 K through 8th graders through the Freedom Schools model. And we have served young people every summer since then. So we started off as a partnership with Communities and Schools Kalamazoo. We just operated as a program for the first 3 years. So that was from 2008 to 2010, engaged about 150 K through 12th graders in our efforts. And my advisory board and I, in 2010, at the end of the summer, started to talk about what it would be like to create an organization that wasn't just providing services during the summer, but also year round for young people and providing other kinds of services that we felt that the community had either not been providing or had just barely scratched the surface. So 2011, we began the journey to create our own organization. In October of 2011, we morphed into Educating for Freedom in Schools. And ultimately, our mission is all about providing high quality, culturally relevant literacy experiences for all youth and families throughout Kalamazoo County. So we emphasize all by ensuring that it's accessible from an income standpoint, because we know that those opportunities are far and few between throughout the community.
So how do you ensure that everyone can afford it? I mean, there's got to be some cost on your part to provide the service.
Yeah, that's a great question. The costs are actually quite steep. To run a summer program serving 50 K through 12th graders, it ends up being about $66,000. So you do the math if you break that down per pupil. And most of the funding that we receive is from grants. I have about 10 donors that give anywhere between $20,000 on down to $1,000 for our efforts. We also have a $100 registration fee in place for families, and we waive it for any families that are at 200% of the poverty level and below. So that's how we ensure that it's accessible. Families can give above and beyond that if they are able and willing to do that. And so that's something that we encourage, not just monetary support, but also just giving of their time as well.
CJ, how did you end up being involved in Freedom School?
Well, my mom ended up telling me something about Freedom School in 2010. So I was like, okay, sound like it's a cool thing. I might, you know what I'm saying, see a little people I know. So we ended up, it was at Mount Zion on the north side at the time. And I went in, it was just like everybody was all cool, laid back, you know, clapping, everybody up and about. It's early morning, you know. I was like, I can't do this. But I ended up getting, you know, used to it, and I started talking to more people, you know, seeing how things was working, and it was just, after that, I just took off with Freedom School. But I missed, like, last year.
You missed last year?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is your second year involved?
Second year.
So what's going to happen on Friday night?
So on Friday night, we have two things that are going to happen. We have an education reception that starts at 5:45. It's just a half an hour of mingling and hearing from some key people about our work and what our overall impact is. And actually, CJ is going to be one of our youth speakers that evening. And we have Michael Evans, who's going to be speaking on behalf of the community, as well as Tiana Harrison, who's actually been with us for five summers. We have engaged her family. So I feel like we have a partnership with her and her family. We'll have some refreshments provided by Bull Restaurant. So there'll be 15 minutes of mingling, and then we'll hear some mini presentations from the three individuals who are going to be speaking, Michael Evans, Tiana Harrison, as well as CJ Bragg. And then we will transition into the Dalton Theater at 6:30 for our sixth annual student showcase, since this is our sixth summer. And we focus the entire summer on youth violence because of some of the recent deaths that have happened, particularly a young man that was with us our very first summer, passed away from the Edison neighborhood. And it really hit home for me. We had not engaged with the family since 2008. One of the things that's challenging when you are operating a standalone program is that you may move from site to site, depending on, you know, where the support lies. And that first year we moved from Fresh Fire on down to St. Joe School. And so we hadn't been in touch with the family for 5 years. And then to hear that this young man who was, you know, nearly what I would consider a baby, I mean, he was probably 8 or 9 when he first was a part of our program. And then to hear that he had passed away, it really broke my heart. And I felt like we could do something within the time that we had in the program. So that's really been our focus. So all the presentations will be concentrated on that, as well as our core principles, which are literacy, social justice, health and wellness, family engagement, and then intergenerational leadership development. We have this overarching theme that every child can make a difference. And it's about making a difference in yourself, within your family, your community, your country, your world, and with hope, education, and action. So that will be 1 hour. And then after that, we'll have cake and punch, and we will culminate our summer.
CJ, can you give us an idea of what your message is that you want to share with people Friday night?
My message is going to be mainly about how Freedom School program works, or how my time was in Freedom School, and how it kind of got me out the situation that I was in at the time before I got into Freedom School. So I'm going to be telling about that, and then I'm going to touch the spot on nonviolence and tell how we can try to make a difference on not trying to, you know, in our community and stuff like that.
Some of those things you mentioned, Tamara, earlier about the goals of Freedom School, how tied in are they with that issue of youth violence, you know, the academics and some of the citizenship type things? Does that all sort of run together?
You know, I believe that young people who have goals in life and have the supports necessary to be able to fulfill those goals are typically on a track of success and not necessarily in the line of fire, if you will. Now, there have been some circumstances of high achieving students being caught in the line of fire. So we know that that happens.
Long time,
right?
Sort of.
Absolutely. But I think overall, if young people have a focus in mind and they really have hope related to their future, they're going to be engaged in activities and engaged with people that help to support them in that. So I think that there is a direct correlation with literacy, with social justice, with really feeling like these aren't issues that we just want to talk about, but that young people do have a voice. And not only do they have a voice towards these issues, but they can actually do something with the support of caring adults in working to resolve some of the issues that our community is currently faced with around youth violence.
CJ, how much do you and your friends talk about some of these things? You know, they get a lot of attention in the paper, but do you guys find yourself talking about some of these incidents with, you know, youth violence, guns, shootings, those sort of things?
Yeah, me and my friends do talk about it a lot because actually we knew the person that Ms. DeMoss just spoke of, and I was actually real close to the person. So, yeah, I talk about that with my friends a lot, and I talk about how it was kind of messed up that it just had to happen like that, and I feel like we should be able to stop stuff like that from happening.
Do you think you can? I mean, do you think that that's something that can happen in this community, that people can put a stop to the violence?
Yes, I think it can happen. It's just everybody needs to work together on it to make it stop, to help it stop.
Tamara, how many young people participate in Freedom School?
On average, we have about 50 K through 12th graders. So we're actually one of the few summer programs that provide enrichment for high school. Most programs just cater through 8th grade. But we recognize that young people in high school also need to have something constructive to do over the summer, particularly with the job market the way that it is. I know that when we started even in 2008, I think there were more opportunities for youth employment, and those have dwindled a little bit in part because of funding. And so it's great that we can provide this opportunity for kids across all ages, and specifically for the high school youth. We focus a lot on career development, and that's something new this year because we want to make sure that they've got some tangible skill sets that can be transferable. And so in some ways, we kind of treat it as a job. So they've been able to interview professionals in the community based on respective areas that they may be interested in. I can vouch for their experience over the summer, so I'm going to be providing a letter of recommendation for them. They recognize that if they complete the 6 weeks, there would be an incentive in place for them, just like you would get a paycheck if you went to work. And so I think that there's something valuable to be gained from the Freedom Schools experience, regardless of what age you're in.
Is it weighted towards any particular age? Do you get a good spread, you know, good representation K through 12, or, you know, does it tend to weight a little heavier in any particular age?
That's a great question. We have more applicants for our younger grades, inevitably, because I think that by the time young people get into middle or high school, I don't know how much families are necessarily focused on having some strong literacy experiences and just strong enrichment experiences during the summer. And so we actually get, as I said before, most of our applications come in that way. But, and I'll tell you though, for like high schoolers, we ended up having roughly about 14 high schoolers that were engaged with during the summer. The most difficult group of individuals to recruit, in part because they have more choices. And I think there's a sense that I just kind of want to kind of hang out with my friends. I want to sleep in. And I can tell you that I have been so impressed with the level of commitment that all of our high schoolers have had. They show up every day. I want to say CJ has probably only missed 2 days the entire summer. And I think that that's really noteworthy considering all the options that they have.
So how do you think you can take this idea of 50 people who are in your summer program, maybe some more make it to this event Friday night, but can you take them the message of nonviolence or tamping down the violence among youth and get it to go throughout the community?
That's certainly our hope. I believe that young people have a place at the table. I believe that they have something to offer that we don't always give them credit for. I think that they have a lot of creative ideas that they can apply to these efforts. And I think that we have to provide the space for those ideas, and we have to help to build their capacity as leaders, because, you know, all of us, you know, are leaders in our own right, but we didn't get there by happenstance. There were people that came along in our lives that spoke life into us, that gave us opportunities to be developed over time. And I think that sometimes we discredit the worthiness of young people and their ability to solve deep-rooted problems. And if given the right space to step in, I believe that anything is possible. So that's really our message. And we want to be able to work with as many youth-serving organizations as possible to help to develop young people. And as we grow as an organization, we plan on providing more opportunities for young people to develop their leadership abilities. So we have a YAC group that's going to be put into place. We'd like to really begin to explore doing some community organizing with youth in mind. We've been talking about that for a long time as a community, but nothing has really taken root. We also believe that the work that we're doing as a whole should expand, which means that we have to have supporters to expand those efforts. As I said before, the funds that it takes to just run our 6-week program, it's pretty substantial. But I'll tell you that the rate of return for what we're able to do in those 6 weeks is, you know, it's amazing what we're able to do from a literacy and a social and emotional perspective for young people. And I'm sure that if CJ feels comfortable, he could even talk about more personal ways that the program has really impacted him. He talked a little bit about it, but he didn't delve in. And so I think that we have an opportunity to really build on the model of Freedom Schools and inject it in any way we see possible within our youth development effort. So that's something that we are definitely striving towards. But we have to have the support of individuals, of donors, to see the value in what we're doing and be willing to invest in our work, both through monetary as well as human support.
See, Dave? Did you want to delve in a little more, as Ms. Gardner said?
When I first got into Freedom School, I was like kind of one of them tough guys, one of the ones not to talk to a lot of people or didn't want to, you know, be open with a lot of people. But on the 6 weeks I did spend with Freedom School, it's like I got the chance to really step out my comfort zone and just try new things and talk to people and learn new things from what people look at me. You know what I'm saying? How people, I like to know, like sometimes I like to know how people look at me. So I ask them, what do you think about me? You know, it's like, but when I first got into Freedom School, it was like, it was none of that. But now, since I'm on my second year, I was like, I can talk to anybody if I wanted to. I can ask questions if I wanted to. I'm not scared to, you know, step out of my comfort zone and do something different no more. I can just, like, I can help people if they need help. Instead of just looking at them struggling, I can try to put my, you know what I'm saying, do something for them to help. Like, I can start, I can do that thing, them type of things now.
More confident.
More confident.
DeMar Gardner and CJ Bragg, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.